Begin the study of the book of the Revelation. To that moment in which God begins to unveil the things of the future. From chapter 6 of the Revelation, verse 1, to the 21st verse of the 19th chapter, we have the events which will take place during the last 7 years of our Lord's dealing with the nation of Israel according to the prophecy of Daniel. Among students of the Bible, there's an expression in common use, understood by most students of prophecy, but still not known or understood by many. The expression to which I refer is Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week. We find in the 9th chapter of Daniel a passage of Scripture which outlines 6 things that must happen and be fulfilled in the life of the nation of Israel to bring to pass, or is brought to pass, by the happenings of Revelation 6 through 19:21. Israel has been called God's timepiece. If you want to know the time on God's clock of prophecy, look at the nation of Israel in the light of prophecy. I think this is very important today because the majority of professing or confessing Christians believe, because they've been so taught, that God is through with Israel and that they have no place in the hearts and minds of men today, nor should they be given any national recognition or consideration. Away with them, be done with them, is the thought permeating the hearts of too many who name the name of Christ. Now, in this 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, verses 1 and 2, we read of a most interesting experience on the part of Daniel. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel, this mighty man of God, taken captive at about the age of 14 or 15, held in captivity the Babylonians, as one to be taken by them and trained and used in ruling the children of Israel. Here we find Daniel studying the prophecy of Jeremiah. Books there are many, and the bestseller of all books is the Holy Word of God. translated more different languages than any other book. Owned and possessed by more individuals than any other book. But little read and even less understood. So much easier to read books about the Bible than to read the Bible itself. But Daniel is studying the prophecy of Jeremiah. Daniel has been in captivity about 68 years. And Daniel knows that the 70 years of the captivity is about accomplished. And if you read here in the second verse, Daniel notices the prophecy concerning the 70 years to be accomplished by God in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, these 70 years of captivity had been brought on the children of Israel by themselves. God had decreed that under the law of the Sabbath, the land was to lie idle every seventh year. The children of Israel did not see how they could make enough on their land in 6 years to provide for them for 7 years. So contrary to the will and commandment of God, they worked the land every seventh year. God's dealings with the children of Israel have been on the basis of 490 years in the land. You'll find that number repeated several times in their history. Here they've been in the land 490 years. They've worked the land every seventh year instead of letting it lie idle. 7 into 490 goes 70 times, and that's 70 years. They worked the land when it was supposed to lie idle. God let the children of Israel be carried captive away from their land, and the land lay idle 70 years. The land was desolate for those 70 years. Now those 70 years are about up. And when Daniel realized that the 70 years were about up, keep in mind, he's an old man at this time. He's about 85 years of age. But he's still concerned about Israel, the apple of God's eye. And when he realizes never before possibly that the 70 years are about to expire, look in verse 3 what he does. What all of us should do when trouble comes our way. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts, from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants or prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, to all the people of the land. He continued to pray, confessing his sins with the sins of the children of Israel. Now look to the 20th verse of that same chapter. And while I was speaking, while I was still praying, confessing my sins, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in my prayer, even the man Gabriel, the angel serving God as a particular messenger to whom was committed the responsibility of delivering special messages of God to particular individuals. Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly and touched me about the time of the evening oblation, informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, Daniel is praying about the return of his people, the children of Israel, to their land. A subject prominent in the minds and hearts of people today. The return of Israel to her land. What is their land? How much constitutes their land? Is all that they possess today theirs? Or they have taken from others that which does not belong to Israel? That's one of the major problems confronting the world today. And as I've said before, I say once again, when the problem concerning Israel is solved, all the problems of the world will be solved. When that problem is solved, but that problem is going to be solved in God's time, in God's way. Now, God says through Gabriel to Daniel, here is the course that's laid out for the nation of Israel. You want to know the chronology of the nation of Israel? Daniel, you want to know what awaits Israel in the future? Here it is, beginning with verse 24. Uttering of a prophecy considered by many to be the most important prophecy in the Word of God concerning Israel. But I judge it's a little difficult to judge one passage more important than another passage. But this is very important. 77s or 70 weeks. The word translated weeks literally is heptad or seven. 77s. How much are 77s? 490. Now the context must determine whether it's minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennia. The context must determine. Well, we know from the context that Daniel is studying about 70 years. 70 years that God has brought upon Egypt, Israel, and the desolations that are produced thereof. The context reveals that these 77s are years. Daniel, I have laid out the history of Israel for 70 times 7 years, or for 490 years. Now, 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. I'm going to accomplish 6 things in these 490 years. Number 1, finish the transgression. Number 2, make an end of sin. Number 3, make reconciliation for iniquity. Number 4, bring in everlasting righteousness. Number 5, seal up the vision and prophecy. Number 6, and to anoint the most holy. Those 6 things must be accomplished in the history of the nation of Israel. And I'm going to take 490 years to do it. Now, we're going to find in the next few verses that the 490 years are divided into 3 periods of time. Let's look at that division. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem there's much confusion, much debate among theologians as to which of three different decrees to rebuild the city and the walls, etc., is spoken of here. Many intricate schemes have been worked out. The most popular by Sir Robert Anderson, former chief of Scotland Yard, but one of the outstanding students of prophecy of the century. But I don't think we need concern ourselves with that any of these books or schemes that have been developed trying to determine which it is, when the Word of God has settled it once and for all. And in the prophecy of Isaiah, the Lord says that Cyrus, my servant, shall issue the decree. Cyrus, my servant, shall issue the decree. 200 years before Cyrus was born, he was named by God. And he's a servant of God. So we'll just stand there. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be seven sevens, or 49 years. From the time the decree goes forth until the city has been rebuilt and the walls rebuilt, will be 49 years. So from the time that Ezra and Nehemiah and the group went back, and more interesting accounts in history you cannot read than those of Ezra and Nehemiah, as they took the remnant and returned to the land of Israel to rebuild the temple, the city, and the walls. 49 years were taken for that. Now, 62 weeks, 62 sevens, the street shall be built again, the wall, the troublous times, after 62 weeks, or after 62 sevens, after 62 sevens, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. All right, we've got 7 sevens and 62 sevens, which makes 69 sevens. From the time that Cyrus issues the decree until the Messiah is cut off, until Jesus is crucified. From the time of the issuing the decree by Cyrus to rebuild the city and the walls until the Messiah appeared and was crucified, 69 sevens, or 483 years. Martin Anstey, one of the leading of three chronologers of a century ago, conceived that with Sir Robert Anderson and others, Clinton and Bishop Usher, in the development of the chronology of the Scripture, that from the time Cyrus issued that decree until the Messiah was crucified, 483 years. We know that to be true not because man has reckoned so, but because the Bible says so. People err grievously in thinking that when they come upon some natural phenomena that is according to the Word of God, that that establishes the Word of God. It doesn't any such thing. The Word of God establishes that event. The Word of God proves that the time was 483 years. Not Sir Robert Anderson, not Martin Nancy, and not Clinton or Bishop Usher. The Word of God says it's 483 years from the time the decree is issued. Now, that leaves a period of 7 years. I'll tell you now, and we'll look at it in just a moment. 7 years prophesied concerning the nation of Israel that has not yet been fulfilled. 7 years remain in the history of Israel in which God will deal with Israel as he did in days gone by. 7 years remained. Those 7 years are called Daniel's 70th week. Now let's read on here. In the 26th verse, I'll begin there. After 62 weeks, or taking the 49 before, here we have the 69 weeks, or sevenths, or 483 years. After 483 years, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was cut off for us, not for himself. Then the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now the city, or the people of the prince, or the people of Rome, they're the ones that destroyed the city in 70 A.D. The sanctuary in the end, that shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now the prince of the people that shall come, this points to the Antichrist himself. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, or for a period of 7 years. The Antichrist coming into power immediately after the rapture of the saints makes a covenant with the nation of Israel. He makes a covenant with the nation of Israel. Now, in the middle of the week, in the middle of that 7 year period of the covenant which he makes with the nation of Israel, he's going to break his covenant. We read in the 12th chapter of the Revelation, we won't turn there just now, but we read there that during that 7 year period, Satan in heaven, access to the throne of God, where he ever liveth, to make not intercession, but to accuse the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren, will be cast out. War in heaven, Michael the archangel and Satan and their angels and followers. And Satan will be cast out of heaven and his followers. Knowing that his time is short, he comes to the earth. That's the middle of that last 7 years. That's at the expiration of 3.5 years. He breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel. Then begins what the Scripture calls the tribulation, the great one. That's when the great tribulation begins. The tribulation itself having begun at the beginning of the 7 year period. Those 7 years are still future. Those 7 years begin with the breaking of the first seal. The breaking of the first seal. That's when the 7 years begin. And then the breaking of the seals and the trumpets and the vials, all fulfilled in due season within this 7 year period. Now, he's going to break that covenant. The Antichrist is going to break the covenant he made with the nation of Israel. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, let's see if we can get a picture of that which I've tried to present to you. Daniel, meditating upon the 70 years of captivity, studying the prophecy of Daniel, prophecy of Jeremiah, is reminded that the 70 years are about accomplished. He turns to the Lord in prayer, praying manifestly for the return of the children of Israel, the rebuilding of the city, the reestablishment of the temple and its worship. But after hours of prayer, God sends Michael, his special messenger, to Daniel with this message. Daniel, not 70 years. Not 70 years. You're praying about the 70 years. You're praying about the return of Israel now. But that's not the thing that's important. I have appointed 70 times 7. I have appointed 490 years yet to be fulfilled in the life of the children of Israel. Speaking to Daniel, that time from then would be counted. And during those 490 years, these things are going to happen. The first 49 years are going to be occupied by the return of a remnant under Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the city, the temple, and the walls, and reinaugurate the temple worship. Then, 62 sevens, after that, Messiah will have appeared and will be cut off. Now, the interesting thing about that is when the Jews of the day of our Lord came to our Lord demanding a sign, every one of them should have known that the 483 years had been accomplished dating up to the time of their appearing and cutting off of the Messiah. Every one of them could have known that. But they were blinded, as Christians are blinded today, to the signs of the times, the soon coming of our Lord. Now, with the cutting off of the Lord, with the crucifixion of our Lord, with our Lord's burial and resurrection and ascension and return to heaven, God's clock of prophecy stopped. Time has not been running on God's clock of prophecy from the time of our Lord's crucifixion until today. There is still 7 years to be fulfilled. Still 7 years to be fulfilled in the life of the children of Israel. Still 7 years to be fulfilled, Israel as a nation. God has preserved Israel until this day. How better can the preservation of Israel under the hand of God be illustrated than that illustrated years ago and has been used many times since? Someone said, how can you prove the Bible is true? Their simple reply was, the Jew. Study the prophecies of the Word concerning the Jew and see what God has done concerning the Jew, and you'll see the Bible is true. Everything God has said up to date concerning them has been fulfilled, and all that is unfulfilled will yet be fulfilled. God has preserved and kept the Jew, separate and distinct from nations of the world. The nations of the world have tried to exterminate them. They've tried to assimilate them. They've tried to amalgamate them. And here in our lifetime, they're trying to integrate them anywhere in the world to get rid of the nation of Israel. But all man's schemes have failed. And Israel still remains separate and distinct as a people because God has so decreed. Now, there are six things to be accomplished in the life of the children of Israel. They're not going to be accomplished until the seals begin to break. And this 70th week of Daniel coincides with the period of time from Revelation 6 through the 21st verse of the 19th chapter. All of those chapters will be fulfilled within the space of 7 years when they begin. Now, that's what the Word of God has to say in the prophecy of Daniel, prophecy of Revelation. When he starts out, he said, I'll show you things which must come to pass shortly. The word shortly is not exactly correct, but I'll show you things which must come to pass swiftly when they begin. And when this 7 year period starts, the 70th week of Daniel, then all of these prophecies in Revelation will begin to be fulfilled swiftly, and they'll all be fulfilled within the space of 7 years. Now, here in the prophecy of Daniel, in the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, let's notice briefly what's going to be accomplished. What has to be done for Israel? What's going to be done for Israel? Israel one day is going to be in the limelight. The prophecy of God concerning Israel that one day the nation of Israel will be the head of the nations and no longer the tail of the nations. Now in verse 24, first of all, they're going to finish the transgression. Israel today is in rebellion against God. Israel today is sinning against God. Israel today is transgressing the commandments of God. But there's coming a day when Israel no longer will transgress the commandments of God. There's coming a day when no longer will Israel disobey God. There's coming a day when Israel will have finished her sinning against God. There's coming a day when she will have finished her transgressions. But that's not coming until after the rapture of the saints and after the great tribulation begins. In that period of time, Israel is going to finish her transgression. We read in the closing verse of the 5th chapter of Hosea, our Lord speaking, said, I'll go and return unto my place till they, Israel, acknowledge their offense, the offense of my rejection and crucifixion. And I'll stay up there till they acknowledge their offense. And in the time of trouble, in the time of their suffering during the great tribulation, they will acknowledge their offense. And then they'll turn to the Lord. The Apostle Paul speaks in the 11th chapter of Romans about turning away the hearts of the people from their sins and turning them back to the Lord. That's the first thing that's going to be accomplished. They're going to quit sinning against the Lord. God says, I'm going to make an end of their sins. I'll make an end of their sins. Satan is the instigator. Satan is the moving power back of Israel and her sins. And Satan is going to be cast into the bottomless pit, so-called, chained and kept there for 1,000 years. And that's going to put an end to the sin of the children of Israel. It's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. Of course, you and I understand that God was reconciled when Christ suffered on Calvary's cross. He was reconciled. But Israel hadn't been reconciled. In the reconciliation that comes from God, in the salvation that comes from God, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for my sins, but I had to accept it before the reconciliation was completed. Christ died for the sins of Israel, but Israel has not accepted it. And reconciliation will come when they accept it, but they will not accept it. Till one day their attention is drawn heavenward and they see the Son of Man in power and glory coming to the earth. And as they see Him, there comes that moment when they recognize the wounds in His hands and they cry out, Lord, whence receivest Thou Thy wounds? To which He replies, these are the wounds with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then Israel will recognize that Jesus of Nazareth, the lowly carpenter, truly is their Messiah. And they'll receive Him. And there they make reconciliation for iniquity. But not until then. We read in the next place that He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness, of course. Everlasting righteousness cannot be brought in until the transgression has been finished, until the end of sins, until they've been reconciled because of their iniquities. Then He brings in everlasting righteousness, fulfilling the prophecy of our Lord concerning the new covenant, when He's going to give Israel a new heart, give them a new covenant. They'll be a people in which righteousness indwells, and in which they themselves dwell in righteousness. Then the fifth thing He's going to do, He's going to seal up the vision and prophecy. Visions and prophecies of the Word of God belong to the children of Israel. How often today do we hear Gentile Christians talking about seeing a vision? Seeing a revelation or being given this prophecy. Beloved, the visions and prophecies belong to Israel. And when Israel is reconciled to God, then there'll be no further need of visions and prophecies, and they'll come to an end, and they'll be sealed up, and there'll be no more of them. And then the sixth and the last thing to be accomplished, He's going to anoint the Most Holy. There was the anointing of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle built by Moses. But when the things were transferred to the temple, we read of no anointing of those. But in this new millennial temple, described by Ezekiel beginning with chapter 41, as we read of that incomparable temple to be built north of the city of Jerusalem, from which worship emanates in the presence of God. The Holy of Holies in that temple are going to be anointed by the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of God, and then will be fulfilled. The 70th week, and then God's history with Israel of the 490 years will have come to an end, and they'll enter into another era or dispensation of God's dealings with them. So when this beast cried out to the rider, the white horse, to go, or as King James says, come and see, with the breaking of that first seal, we enter in upon the fulfillment of the prophecies of the 490 years, of which 7 years still remain. Is God through with Israel? God forbid. Israel is God's chosen people. Israel is called in Exodus chapter 4, his firstborn son. They come to occupy more and more the center of attention in political affairs today. Religious affairs. We get word from Israel. I think I called attention to the group Wednesday night. This incident, which transpired just recently, recorded in one of the Christian papers which comes to my desk, said a group of saved Jews gathering for worship in the land of Israel suddenly had the door broken down. Orthodox renegade Jews breaking in. They took the Bible, tore them to pieces, they broke the furniture, they broke out windows, they dismantled the whole room and house in which they were, and threatened them with their lives if ever again they returned to the reading of the New Testament and the study of that. That's taking place in Israel today. The Lord needs people today to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Lord needs people today to speak up for the nation of Israel. And God has promised blessings to any and all who will. What greater promise can one have than Genesis 12:3? I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. For what greater promise than Psalm 122:6? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And God said through Zechariah, I was a little displeased with Israel, and I began to chasten them lightly. But you ran in and began to punish them abusively and brutally, and I don't like it. He that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of my eye. Or in common English, he that toucheth Israel sticks his finger in my eye, says the Lord God Almighty. Listen, the days will soon be upon us. We'll soon be caught out of this world. And no sooner shall we have been caught out than the seals of the book begin to be broken. And the prophecies from Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 will be fulfilled. We'll be thinking and praying and studying about those prophecies that are soon to come upon the earth. Not something of which I've thought, but that which the Word of God says. Are you a friend of Israel? If you are a friend of our Lord, you're a friend of Israel, because he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Prince of the house of David. Now may the grace of God our Father and the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each and every one of his children present, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.